Welcome to the Dissertation Dive. This is a special podcast series where we dive into dissertations of scholars who completed their doctoral degrees in the past several years. As you know, the dissertation is the culminating experience of a doctoral journey and includes independent scholarship that is significant to the field. So I thought it'd be a great idea to dive into some outstanding dissertations. In this episode, I'm joined by Dr. Shannon Pennington, the author of the dissertation titled Developing Resilience and Enhancing Appraisals of Mattering Among Elementary Level Non-Core Teachers, Project Dream. Dr. Pennington, thank you for joining me on the Dissertation Dive.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, it's also excited for this conversation and to learn more about the work that you've been doing. We'll spend a lot of time looking back at your dissertation, but first, will you tell us a little bit about what you are doing now in your career?
Yeah, so I am the teacher leader at an alternative high school in Illinois' second largest school district, the Elgin School District U46, where I have been a teacher for 25 years. That's how old I am. And I've done a variety of roles. I've taught physical education, kindergarten all the way through 12th grade in this district. But now, partially inspired by my graduate studies, I'm now in the alternative high school. And so I'm just serving in a leadership role where I am supporting social emotional learning for both our students, but also for our teachers as they work in a really exceptionally stressful teaching environment.
Well, that's interesting. You the school district, Elgin, Illinois, for 25 years, and somewhere in there, you decided to pursue a doctoral degree that had something to do with physical education. I'm sure there was plenty to keep you busy in that school district. So I'm really curious how you ended up pursuing your PhD.
Yeah, so I think that there were a lot of things along the way that led me to it. You know, my dad is a retired professor of art education. He retired from Texas Tech and got his doctorate at the same place I did, University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign. And I don't think I realized when I was much younger that that may have been an influence on me. But as I reflect back, I do think that it was. But as I was practicing as a physical education teacher, I identified some problems, and I pursued some different leadership roles in the district, and I worked with our state association, IAFERD, doing waiver response and trying to advocate for physical education at the state level. And then I was doing some adjunct instruction at a community college in an elementary, you know, physical education methods course. Loved it. Loved supporting student teachers, and started to think that I might be interested in higher education full time. But I worked as a teacher leader for our teacher mentor program, because our district has a really robust teacher mentor program. And so I served teachers of all subject areas and grade levels in our district for that. But missed PE and thought this might be my opportunity to return at the elementary level, because I'd been teaching high school and middle school. And in the elementary methods class I was teaching, I thought I'm going to be able to really employ all of these strategies in my own classroom. And so I voluntarily returned to the classroom in an elementary school, and I was split between two elementary schools, as elementary level specialists often are. And discovered just how challenging that is when you only see your kids once a week. And I was teaching seven grade levels, kindergarten through sixth grade, in two different buildings. So I had literally hundreds and hundreds of students. And particularly at kindergarten, I saw behaviors that frightened me, just startled me. Five-year-olds who were removed from the building in squad cars. It was just, what is happening? So I could see where childhood trauma was entering in to interfere with their learning. because at kindergarten it was just out of control. And so I started thinking at that point about solving a problem, like what could maybe research do to help me figure out? Because I was saying, if I had these kindergartners more often in a structured physical education environment, could we mediate some of that, some of those behaviors? And I really strongly believe that we could have if the model made more sense. And so that's really what inspired me to go ahead and pursue the PhD. And I'm very lucky to have a premier university and kinesiology pedagogy program in my backyard. I was actually born in Champaign because my dad was finishing school at the time that I was born, and I'm from that part of the state. Mm-hmm. And so I was able to make that work, which is how I ended up there. It's just lucky that proximity worked in my favor.
Yeah, how proximal is Elgin to Champaign?
Well, it's about 2.5 hours.
Okay.
But my parents are about 45 minutes from campus, but they are in the middle of the state. And so it's not super easy. It's about 3.5 hours to get to them. So what I ended up doing was commuting, and I would drive. I had a night class at first, so it was like a Thursday night or something. I would drive down on a Thursday night, and then I can't remember if I didn't have something on Friday or whatever it was. I would spend the weekend with my parents, and then I would drive back home. I eventually then took a year's leave of absence from the school district to pursue full time, and so I actually moved back with my parents during the week, and then I would drive back home to the Chicago suburbs on the weekend. And I did that until spring break, which happened to be the year that COVID shut everything down. And then, of course, why of all years I take a leave of absence, I don't even get a full year on campus, because I ended up coming back and doing everything virtually from my house anyway. But I was able to knock out a lot of that coursework, and I was ready to move into dissertation mode shortly thereafter. And so it just worked out for me to do it remotely.
Yeah, so that's interesting. You really were, you had to be committed to the program. You had commute times to consider and time away from home just to make it all work. So after you went through a couple of years of your studies and you got some classes under your belt, you mentioned you began to think about your dissertation. And I know you came to the program with kind of a research interest, but what were some of the things that influenced your selection of a research topic, you know, and eventually a dissertation proposal?
Yeah, so I started off with this sort of trauma focus. And in the process of working as a graduate student, I had the opportunity to be a research assistant for Dr. Kevin Richards. And he had begun working on a collaboration around social emotional learning for teachers and looking at those marginalized content areas. So physical education in particular, but also art and music and drama and some of these others, what they call specials at the elementary level, and how teaching those subjects really produced some unique stressors. And I was very drawn to this project because I had experienced that. I was only at the elementary level for a year after 20 plus years of teaching in the public schools. But I did elementary for a year. And that year was so, as I mentioned, startling to me, that inspired, there's a big problem here. And I think that research could help us solve it, that I wanted to start a degree. But that shift, that experience then, it was the trauma I was seeing in the students, but the experience as a research assistant and learning that there is study on marginalization in physical education. And I was never able as a practitioner to put a label on that or to name that. And so I was very intrigued that research was being done on an experience that I had had, and knew that I had a lot of colleagues who were having a similar experience. And so I was able to, you know, starting off as a research assistant, then took that project and ran with it as my dissertation.
Wow. Wow. So, okay. So it's great you had that year to really get into graduate school, have research assistant experience. And then I'm excited to hear how you're taking that back into the school that you're working in. And I think that's going to come up in our conversation in a few minutes here. But let's talk about your dissertation a little bit. What were the research questions that you sought to address and to learn about from your dissertation?
Well, so I was looking at it through the lens of occupational socialization theory, and also the trans-theoretical model of teacher change, and a teacher change model, which OST is sort of the umbrella in this trans-theoretical model that Ben Kern developed. And this kind of speaks to we developed a professional development treatment, so to speak, as a professional development series for teachers who teach these content areas, these non-core content areas, and really identifying where they are so that we can figure out where we need to go with this professional development, but also providing some social emotional learning opportunities for them as they developed a community, which was really, really central to that experience, is recognizing allies in your art teachers and your music teachers. And it's not just you as the physical educator alone having these marginalizing experiences. So we wanted to know what those teachers' beliefs and dispositions toward change were, and did that influence them to participate in the project? Because it was not something that they were forced to do, like teachers could all elect to participate. And we wanted to know if it would impact their willingness to adopt what they were being taught and actually implement it, and their perception of how impactful that learning was. And did they see themselves using these skills in future practice? And then we also wanted to know sort of what were some of the socialization experiences that they were bringing into our project, and how might those influence how they received the learning and used it afterwards?
Well, so you've got clearly, well-framed study. There's theoretical models that's guiding the questions that you're asking. So I'm interested to learn more about kind of the methodological approach you took to address the research questions. Did you use a mixed methods approach, or what types of strategies did you employ?
Yeah, so it was all qualitative. And we collected a lot of different data points. So we had two interviews, one that occurred at the midpoint of the professional development and one at the end. We had a binder that participants used, so each session, and it was six sessions over 12 weeks. And each session was 2 hours long. So they had a binder that sort of guided some of the activities that we were doing. And so anything that they wrote down, notes, different exercises, reflections, all of that we captured. We had observations and field notes. So just a lot of note-taking that we were doing during the observing, which I found challenging. It's hard to be an active facilitator in a professional development and then also capture all the notes and trying to sort of capture everything that's happening, because I wasn't just a passive observer. I was an active, facilitator in the event. And so that was a little tricky. But we had just a variety of qualitative methods that we used. We had a demographic survey where we collected some, like, how long they've been teaching and some of their feelings about their own marginalization and isolation. So there was a lot of qualitative stuff there.
Were there about how many participants did you have, and did they represent, all the non-core subjects that come to mind?
Yeah, so I was surprised that at the end of the day, the majority of our participants were music teachers. So we had 19 total participants, and almost half of them were music. And then we had 7 physical educators, 5 art teachers, and 1 drama teacher. And that was over both iterations. So we ran this CPD twice in 2 different school districts. And so those were the total number of participants over both iterations.
Right. Wow. So this is going to be interesting as we move toward thinking about the findings of your study. But before we get there, I know, data collection, that process can be a challenge. And a lot of doctoral students I talk to, just run into a lot of those roadblocks with data collection, whether it's getting the data or keeping it on a certain timeline or whatever that might be. How did the data collection process go for you?
I didn't mind it. Like I said, I think that the note taking and the field notes was the most difficult for me. During the first iteration, there were 3 of us that sort of co-facilitated. And so it was nice to have, we had a couple of research assistants that were present to help us take photos of the documents that participants were writing on and making observations and taking general notes. In the second iteration, there were 2 of us for only 2 of the sessions. So the bulk of the sessions I facilitated alone, and that's where capturing the notes was the trickiest. But and I did have some support with conducting the interviews. I conducted quite a few, but we had research assistants and some of another graduate student, and then Dr. Richards sort of helped in the whole process as well. So I thought it was great. Like, I really enjoyed that aspect of it, collecting the data and kind of reading through transcripts and really getting a sense of themes and identifying those patterns. That was kind of the exciting part, to see, what the response to this intervention was and what we could do moving forward. So with the 2 iterations, grabbing that feedback from the first one was super important because we made a few tweaks and changes, not very many, before we rolled out the second iteration, because we had a lot of positive feedback. We were almost begging participants, please be critical of anything. We really want to make this the best possible experience for teachers. And they did give us a little where we were able to adapt, a few of the activities that we did in sessions and just generally when things happened, they were run at completely different times of day, different, some preferred evening after school, another group wanted to do Saturday morning. So there were some differences based on feedback, but for the most part, feedback was overwhelmingly positive.
Yeah. So in terms of data analysis, you indicated that you enjoyed, that process and moving toward the development of themes. What type of process did you employ to, systematically take a look at the data and eventually get some findings out of it?
Yeah, well, we used collaborative qualitative analysis. You might be familiar.
Slightly.
Right. And so that guided the process. And so there were just several different series of individually going through chunks of data. So research assistants, doctoral students, myself, going through different chunks of the data, then coming together, talking through those initial findings. What are we seeing? Then going back into different chunks of data, pairing up, going through interviews and documents and mixing up kind of who was doing which part, and then bringing it all back together again and having those collaborative conversations just to try to eliminate some of that bias. I think it's important to note that in the second iteration, I was definitely an insider because I knew a lot of these teachers, and I had concern about how open and honest are they going to be, or do they feel that they need to say things or not say certain things because it's me. And so we really wanted to try to control for that as much as we could. And so I think the CQA process was really important to be able to accomplish that, because there were so many other viewpoints and perspectives that were coming in. To have, you know, those perspectives about what was being said and what it meant.
Yeah. So thank you. I know I am familiar with that analysis process, and have found it useful when I've been a part of a project that deals with a lot of data, which you clearly dealt with in this case. And that was kind of going to be one of my questions, is how you did that. And so it sounds like having some of the research team involved in the analysis process to collaborate with you helped you move toward the results of your study. So speaking of results, I know you have a lot to say in your dissertation in terms of the findings, but what were some of the most important findings that you could highlight from your dissertation study?
Yeah. So the teacher dispositions piece, I think, was really interesting. Teachers had some disposition toward change. I think their marginalization experiences made our project very appealing to them. Many participants commented, there's a professional development that's just for us, given by people in our profession, although our background, the research team was all kinesiology, pedagogy, but the way we were able to connect the PE teacher experience to art and music teacher experiences gave us some credibility, and they really felt heard. And so I think having a professional development where you can put teachers of marginalized subjects together, that there's a kinship that developed, that I think supports their advocacy efforts. It supports their relationship building, makes them feel less isolated, because at the elementary level, very often they are the only specialist with that content in their entire building. There's usually only one PE teacher in the elementary school, one art teacher. And so you can feel like you're the only one until you can see in a situation like in our project where you might be the only one in that content area, but you're not the only one having these sort of emotional responses to these experiences, and that you don't need to feel so isolated, and you can speak a common language and provide that support for one another. So I think that was super key. So it would that disposition of dissatisfaction where they felt like they weren't being treated like other teachers are treated really made our project appealing to them. And then once there, I think that they realized that this is something that I could change. It's within my locus of control. I can't always change the way people treat me, but I can change my response to it. I can choose to not let it wear me down, so that, I mean, some of our teachers, the participants, were saying that they had thought about quitting, leaving the profession altogether because of the stress and the isolation and the feeling, the lack of respect. And when they come back and they say, I see a pathway to stay, and I see a pathway to support, that is incredibly powerful.
Absolutely. Yeah. Was there anything about your findings that was surprising or unexpected for you?
I have to say that I, because of my own personal experiences, and, you know, when I see this professional development that's being developed for teachers like me, and I got excited about it, I anticipated that other teachers would be excited about it too. So to see teachers latch onto it the way they did was not surprising. I think what would be a really interesting follow-up study would be to go back and ask, do those relationships still exist? Do you have new ones? Are you able to use those skills? Do you catch yourself, you know, in these different situations where you remember, oh, I remember in Project Dream, we did XYZ and I should try this technique or something like that. Because that to me would be the biggest question is, does it still work? And would it surprise me if it did or not? I don't know. I would just be really interested to know if it has a long-term effect.
Yeah, absolutely. I suspect to some extent it did. I mean, it was a well-designed and theoretically informed project. And so I'm optimistic that you've had a positive impact there. You've had this experience. If you had to go back and do it all over again, would you do anything different?
This is just a very sort of surface level thing. I would be more organized from the beginning. I mean, I have so many code books from the analysis, coming up with naming devices for my Google Drive, I think would have been key. And I don't think that I really realized the tsunami of data in the qualitative process. There are so many words and documents and trying to organize, you know, color coding and things like that, especially when I want to go back and look at the data when I haven't been in there in a while, and then trying to interpret, why did I highlight this green? So that's tricky. And I'm somebody who tends to be extremely organized. So I wonder if on the outside, maybe it wasn't that bad. But from my perspective, I was not prepared for a system per se. And then when you have other people like research assistants who are in on that, being able to provide clear instruction to our undergraduates who are supporting the work about a process and a procedure. And I have to say that they were godsends. They were incredibly helpful and organized, but having a plan to organize for sure. And I wonder too about, and maybe this isn't something I could have changed, but the recruitment process too. We had small numbers, and I think that that worked well to develop that community. I'm not sure that if I had a room full of 50 teachers, that we would have been able to accomplish what we did in the smaller groups.
Right.
And so how could we then maybe have done more with more smaller groups, as opposed to running it through two school districts and we had, you know, nice sized groups each time. I feel like I would like to have seen this. We did two different school contexts, but it'd be interesting to see even more different schools, different regional areas. We didn't do anything with rural schools, which I think could have been a whole different ball game. So there are a lot of different directions that we could go that might have yielded some really interesting information.
Yeah. When you first started the conversation, it stuck with me. You kind of talked about you saw some problems in schools and some issues around trauma and affected kids as young as kindergarten. And you really thought that research could help address some of these problems. And so that led you to this doctoral degree. And so here you are on the other side of it. Do you feel like you've addressed that burning question that got you into the doctoral program in the first place, or is it still like a work in progress?
Well, it's always going to be a work in progress, but that's what's so exciting to me about the role I'm in now, because I did think that I could see myself in higher education, and I still do. And as I mentioned, I've been an adjunct, and I love teaching teachers, pre-service teachers. But what I'm doing now as a teacher leader in an alternative school is trying to answer this trauma question, right? But now it's a high school, but clearly I can see, as a matter of fact, I have some of my former elementary students that I had when they were in elementary school, and then I was gone for a while, and now I'm in this alternative school, and here they are. And so to me, I see there's an opportunity to continue working at answering that question. Where is the education system or society at large failing these kids? And how can I, as just little old me, intervene to make a difference for this kid or that kid? But at the same time, working with teachers in an alternative environment, a very high stress teaching context, there is isolation that they experience. There is, I think, to some degree, some marginalization. I don't think other teachers outside of the alternative school understand what they do. And they have social emotional needs as well. And so one of my goals as teacher leader in my alternative school is to take my dissertation study project Dream and provide that professional learning to my colleagues in my school, because I see the need for it. So I see a lot of opportunity to put this research into practice and then watch how the results unfold and then be able to make adjustments in real time that suit the needs of the people that are doing the work in that school. And I know with certainty I would not be able to provide that for my colleagues had I not pursued this degree, learned what I've learned about trauma, learned what I've learned about good professional development, learned what I've learned about social emotional learning for teachers, understanding marginalization. All these pieces that my graduate work has given me has allowed me to do, I think, something with substance. In a real school with real teachers doing real work with kids that have real problems.
Absolutely. I'm so glad to hear that. And hope you just continue to do that substantive work and find ways to share it out with the field, because we can benefit from learning from you and what you've done. So speaking of sharing it out, I was curious how you disseminated the findings from your dissertation, whether that's, the traditional methods of presentation or publication, or maybe some non-traditional methods of sharing your findings.
Yeah, so one of the chapters is published in Quest, Developing Resilience and Enhancing Appraisals of Mattering. And I have one of my chapters in review. And then I'll be working on another chapter from the dissertation. So I think all told, I should have, three publications disseminating this project specifically. And then I have two sessions that I will be leading at SHAPE Cleveland in the spring, one of which is going to be a mini Project Dream. So we're going to condense a 12-week PD down to 50 minutes, but to just basically introduce practitioners to the concepts behind this, and then see where we can go with providing support. And so one of the graduate students that was working on the project with me early on is going to be co-facilitating that session with me. And then the other session is going to be a roundtable to talk about basically the trauma experiences that teachers are witnessing, and to sort of brainstorm together ways to work with these kids who, teachers, I think, are seeing these things happen in their classes and they just don't know what to do. And I really think that our teaching force is one of the best places to get answers to that if we can just get them talking to each other, which comes back to that relationship building piece. And so I would like to, in this session, create a mini relationship building opportunity where we can talk in sort of maybe mini roundtables, depending on how many teachers come. And then last year I did a similar session where I was talking to teachers at SHAPE about basically bringing some of the research that I've been doing with a doctoral student to teachers. Sort of, remember when you learned this in undergrad? Let's circle back to that, because there are some real practical implications here that I can tell you about as a practicing teacher that I have used, and sort of bridging that research and practice gap and showing teachers how you can actually take research and scholarship and put it into your classroom. Here's how it looked for me. So there have been, and I really like talking to teachers at SHAPE. I've done presentations where I was talking to scholars, and that's great. But if we can find ways to talk to each other, bring scholars into those practitioner sessions and bring practitioners into those scholarship sessions, then we're talking. Then we're talking about really moving our profession.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll have to make sure this is posted before SHAPE so people know to look you up in the program. Sounds like that'll be an outstanding session and a way to, although it's an abbreviated session, it's a way to get a snapshot of how this can look in, you know, a little less than an hour. So I think it'll be a very successful session for you. So what's next for you? Are you continuing the research, or are you focused a little bit more on, you know, implementing and closing that theory to practice gap, or maybe you're still figuring out that answer?
A little of all of that. I do feel like I have my work cut out for me, as I'm a player in transforming this alternative school. I believe that alternative schools have a lot of potential for our highest needs kids. And it's really, really important that we do that well. And I see where I've got some skin in the game in that, and that's exciting to me. So I'm happy to continue to do that work. But I also think that my credibility comes from my scholarship as well. And so if I'm going to continue to push best practices forward, I need to stay on top of the game and I need to be a part of that game. And so I do see a pathway to continue publishing. I anticipate that it's going to be quite a while before I get all the dissertation studies published, but then what can grow from that? Because I really see myself working with not only this trauma side with students, but there's this SEL piece with teachers. And I'm right in the thick of it. And, you know, I don't know that doing a study with my own staff is something that would ever be a possibility. But I do think that there is some commentary that could be important for us as I reflect on those experiences, too, to talk about this is what it could look like in my school, in a district. There's so much there. That I am willing to take whatever pathway makes the most sense, where I can be the most effective scholar and practitioner that I can be. Where can I have the most impact? That's the direction I'm going to go.
Wow. Well, I look forward to seeing how that goes, and hopefully we continue to cross paths. Now, there's some listeners out there, I'm guessing right now, who are thinking about a dissertation, maybe struggling with that. And I wonder what advice you would give someone like that, especially given that you navigated a lot of unique challenges to get your doctorate degree. What could you share with someone to keep them moving?
Well, I remember a number of people told me that you should not try to change the world with your dissertation. I tried anyway, but learned that they were right. You know, if you're going to do all of that work, I hope it's on a topic that you feel some passion toward. And so my personal experiences drove my interest in my topics. If you want to get a dissertation, for whatever the reason is, even if you don't like doing research, you should at least be studying a topic that matters to you, I think, deeply, because it is a haul. And if you are not committed to finding an answer or contributing to our field in some way, then you are going to be more miserable than average. I mean, there is going to be some misery, and it was totally worth it to me. I really feel so empowered now to move forward with answering questions and providing the supports or whatever it is I need to do for students and for teachers and for our profession, it created a pathway for me that would not have existed otherwise. So totally worth the torture. And I don't want to scare anybody away, but that word did come to mind. But the whole time, through the whole process, there was something in there that I cared deeply about. And that's, whatever your topic is, find something that really, really matters.
Yeah, certainly important advice. And I've heard different iterations of that along the way, and I totally endorse that. And also this notion that you can't change the world with your dissertation. And I thought the same thing. And, you know, people kept telling me that advice, and they'd say the best dissertation is the done dissertation, you know. Eventually you kind of come to realize that, but appreciate the passion to want to change the world nonetheless. So this was a really fun conversation. I really enjoyed learning about your dissertation here, and I know others will as well. Is there anything else that you'd like to share or you would want people to know about you?
Oh, I don't know about knowing about me. I would love to connect with people. If it's piqued anyone's interest, absolutely reach out. I would love to collaborate. I would love to chat. Whatever we could do together, I'm very interested in networking in that way. But for those people who are considering embarking on the dissertation, if you're in, then you're all in, and you will make it through. You will want to throw your laptop out the window, and you will make it through to the other side. Persevere. If there's passion there and it's something you care about, then persist. It will end. And then you will have those two little letters in front of your name forever.
That is Dr. Absolutely. Well, congratulations. I'm really glad I got a chance to learn about your work, as I said. And I'm not sure if I'll make the shape or not, but if so, your session will be one of my priorities. And look forward to seeing what you continue to do with the publications, but also the creative dissemination through your connections in the alternative school setting and working with teachers and all those things. So thank you for letting us dive into your dissertation.
It was a pleasure. Thank you so much for the opportunity.